Are we good? Okay, good morning. Thank you all for coming this morning. I hope I'm not going to be too boring. Like I told Cheryl earlier, I don't have as much life as I used to have because I'm getting older. And Mom, I know you don't like me saying I'm getting older because you say, we're all getting older. Don't say that. But I'm getting older. This body is wearing out. Believe me, it is. Now, before we get started here this morning, how many of you all brought the Word of God? You want to hold it up for me so I can see? I'm going to be 100%. 100%. How many of us now here believe that this book is the most powerful book in the universe? Are we 100%? 100%. I like those figures, 100%. Boy, I messed that up. Sorry, Eddie. I don't even have a spell universe. I'm too nervous, I guess. Anyways, okay. So with that in mind, can we begin our lesson here this morning? All right. Anybody, and please, you're going to ruin my lesson if you tell me you do, but does anybody know Calvin Graham? Anybody know Calvin Graham? Billy Graham's boy? No, no. Ever heard of him? Anybody ever heard of Calvin? Don't feel bad, me neither. Calvin, old Calvin, he was from Canton, Texas, and Calvin enlisted in the United States Navy during World War II, okay? He forged his mother's signature on his enlistment papers when he was 12, okay? Calvin started to shave at the age of 11. And started practicing a deeper voice, you know, because he wanted to enlist in the military to help out with the war effort. And we're going to talk a little bit about World War II because that fascinates me a little bit. My son Dan is fascinated with the Civil War. He got me a replica of the pistol of Joshua Chamberlain. Daniel loves the Civil War, but there's something special about the World War II that the Civil War doesn't have. Right? Right? Think about it. Were we ever more united as a nation during World War II? Was that true during the Civil War? Nah. We weren't united. Matter of fact, we were doing this, weren't we? So, World War II kind of has a special place in my heart. I believe your dad fought in World War II, didn't he? Hero. Anyway, he's a hero in my mind. Anyways, so let's continue our little story about Calvin. However, in his service, he showed bravery in battle and earned a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star. Why? Because his battleship, the SS South Dakota, I believe, was struck heavily. He was hit, and he helped many of the sailors when they were hit as well. His service to the nation, though, temporarily ended when his mother notified his supervisors, and he got the boot. He got the boot. However, when Calvin turned the right age, this boy joined the Marines. Quite a story, I think, about old Calvin there. And by the way, you know what? Despite him being in battle, you know he didn't get a honorable discharge. Oh no! Matter of fact, he spent time in the Chokee. Oh yeah, isn't that an amazing story? I think it is. We're gonna tell you a little story about an American. We're gonna tell you a little story about a Russian. We're gonna tell you a little story about an Englishman, because those were the three big powers during World War II. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. No, history's right. Anyways, all right. How about Rosa Shania? Ever hear of her? Rosa Shania. She was a Russian. Matter of fact, she was a Russian sniper during World War II on the front lines. Okay? She was right. Oh, you're going to find out how close she was. She was on the front lines. After the death of her brother, she chose to join the Red Army. Praised for her shooting accuracy, she was capable of precisely hitting enemy personnel with what they called doublets. That is, two shots, two targets, quickly. Boom, boom, you're out. Boom, boom, you're out. She killed a lot of Germans. Killed, yeah, yeah. Wasn't? War's not pretty. It's not pretty. She was killed in action while shielding one of her commanding officers. She was killed in action. Rosa never saw She never saw her 21st birthday. I salute you, Rosa. Anybody that's going to fight the Germans, I salute you. I salute you, Calvin, as well, also. Now, what about the British? Well, how about Frank Foley? Ever heard of him? Don't feel bad. I never did either. And you're going to say, what's the point of all this? We're going to get to that. Frank would not be one of most people's idea of a typical British spy or hero. After all, he was reportedly small and a little pot-bellied. He also wore round glasses. He wasn't your typical James Bond type, okay? But according to his supervisors, he was an extremely effective intelligence officer. As an undercover, almost knocked my new cup over. As a undercover passport control officer, he forged passports and altered visas to help Jewish people escape Hitler's grip. Frank even entered various Nazi concentration camps. What? Would you do that? Walk into a... What? Frank even entered various Nazi concentration camps to issue travel documents and visas. Due to his heroic actions, he is believed to have rescued thousands of men and women from the grips of Nazi Germany. Wow. Now, all three of our examples were motivated to service with the idea of helping others. Just ordinary people doing extraordinary things. None of them were forced to do it. Rosa didn't have to join the Red Army. Russia's army wasn't that bad that they were pulling young ladies off the street. She volunteered. Calvin didn't have to join the Navy at the age of 12. They didn't want him. It was against the law to do that even. And certainly Frank wasn't ordered into the Nazi concentration camps. He did it on his own. Now, I got two questions for you. And as always, of course, Scripture's going to hold the key. Two questions. Number one, do you consider yourself to be an ordinary person? Do we have any extraordinary people here? Don't be offended, but I don't see any, okay? That would include me. And question number two, which gets what's that? Oh, I'm not paying attention to her. Anyways, question number two is, which gets a little bit closer to the meat of the lesson. Question number two is, do you think you can do extraordinary things? Ooh. Yay or nay? Well, you know what the answer is to both questions is obviously yes. And Scripture, of course, holds the key because we know in Matthew chapter 24, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This book is eternal. Proverbs chapter 30 states that every word of God is pure. That is, it's incorrupt. If you have pure diamonds, it also means clear. If you have a pure diamond, you can see right through it. It's pure. And John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. The absolute manifestation of righteousness throughout all eternity is Jesus Christ. He's right here. And Hebrews chapter 4 says that this book is so powerful, it can pierce the it can pierce the soul and the spirit, and is even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what this book is. It's an amazing book. Now, I don't think anybody on the planet reads as many books as Cheryl does. Every night she's got a book, and she's got that light on, and I can't sleep. Daggone it, I said, how long are you going to be reading that book? She is a bookworm. Cheryl, do you know of any other book in the universe that compare to this? I don't. That's because there is not another book that compares to this. Now, with that in mind, we know we don't have to turn there because we don't have time. It's a long lesson. I'm going to try to make it short. But we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, if any man, there's no discrimination here, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's that new creature. Go to Philippians chapter 3 now. Here we go. And where we stop, no one knows. Philippians chapter 3. Wow. This is fantastic. The whole word is, but man, some of these verses in Paul's writing just blows my mind. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me? All Paul's pedigree, who he was in the flesh, and all those things he accomplished in the flesh, he said, you know, those things which were gained, those things in the flesh that were gained to me, those I counted what? Lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. That would be all physical things, I guarantee you. For loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. All things physical, not spiritual, of course. And do count them but dung. Anybody want to take a guess what that word D-U-N-G is? Anybody want to guess? I know exactly what it is because I looked it up. It's funny how the teacher always knows the answer. How about it, Galen? What is dung? You said human waste, but you're not right. We're talking about animals. You look it up. It's animal waste. I challenge anyone to go clean up Luna's poop, my German Shepherd. I challenge you. I swear on this book, I've never smelled anything so bad. I don't know if it's because she's part wolf. I don't know. It stinks to high heaven. Paul said, those things that I lost in my flesh, I'm going to count them as animal waste. Animal waste. Look it up. It's animal waste. That I may win Christ. Paul says, I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Paul said, that's where my righteousness is. It's in what He accomplished for me. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Wow. It's very clear when you read Paul's writings, the issue is not you. Matter of fact, Paul said we died with Christ back in Romans chapter 6. The issue is not you. The issue is what God has done for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, here we go. We're going to start to scratch the surface of our lesson here this morning. Woo! And it's going to be something. Not because it's coming from me, but because it's coming from the book. Philippians chapter 4. Notice verse 13. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay? I don't have a real hard time understanding that passage. I do know my power source is Jesus Christ. But what about the all things? That's where it gets interesting to me now. Is Paul saying that he was the world's first superhero? I can do anything. I can pick up trains. I can move mountains. Is that what Paul's talking about here? Well, let's shed some light. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And if I'm wrong, you can correct me after I'm done. Won't have a problem with that. You show me a verse, I'll say, praise the Lord, move on. All right, 1 Corinthians 2. I am no one you have to be afraid of, despite my martial arts. Don't be afraid of me. Because if you hurt me, I'll get you. I'll subdue you. Anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, my goodness. Remember, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. All things. You read about that constantly in Paul's writings. Notice here in 1 Corinthians, are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. It must be something beyond man. It hasn't even entered him. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, what things are we talking about? The deep things of God. Hey, listen, we're on a completely different level now. We're not talking about little petty earthly things. Oh, no. We're on a different level. And we're going to see that as time goes on here this morning. Now, Paul says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit of which is in him? Even so, the things of God. And that's what we're focused on here this morning. The things of God. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything else. I'm not interested in hunting deer. I'm not interested in food plots. That's the flesh. I'm interested in the things of God. For what man? Okay, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You mean the one that created the universe is actually going to give me free things? There was a cartoon years ago, Eustace. He used to say, free, that's for me. I say that in my flesh. Hey, if it's free. I was at a show yesterday and I picked up some free items. They're free. Free is nice, isn't it? I'll take a free. Now, he's given us some free things. Which things? Now, if you stick with the context, we're talking about these things of God. Which things also we speak? Not in words with which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Listen, Paul's not talking about earthly, physical things that you can see and touch and smell. I'm sorry, he's not. Very interesting. Now, what else do we have here? Well, there's a similar passage to this, isn't there? Do you know where it's found? Wasn't Paul talking about God's given us some free things? Isn't there another passage that talks about that? Galen, that's your favorite verse. Romans 8. We got to get our mind. It's so hard to do because we're earthbound. We got to get our mind off of things we can see. That's not where it's at. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I'm honest to a fault. But anyways, Romans chapter 8, boy, this is fascinating to me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Just like people can mess up Philippians 4, verse 13, they can mess up Romans chapter 8, verse 28, can't they? Paul says, "For we know that all things," Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Paul says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And people will come along, and I've heard it with my own little big fat ears. See, God's going to work this out in your life. He's going to work this out in your life. And it's all working for good. All these little physical things. God's going to get you a job. He's going to find you a woman. I'm telling you, don't be despaired. He'll find you someone. And it's all going to work out for your good. Is that what he's talking about? No. Well, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It's only going to be saints only, of course. To them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Sounds to me like Paul's pretty specific as to what these things are. I take that to be a reference back to 28. But anyways, if God, Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, there it is again, freely give us all things. There it again. Now, I got just an observation. If all things in verse 28 are physical, earthly, temporal things, then by the time you get to verse 32, well, then he has to give us health, wealth, and longevity. If all things include physical things, but there's a problem with that. I know saints that aren't that healthy. Nobody knows it, and I'm not going to reveal it, but I got some little physical problems myself. Everybody thinks I'm the ever-ready bunny, that I'm the new 30. No, I'm going to be 67. You can't go against Mother Nature or Father Nature, whoever you want to be. But anyways. And I know some people that aren't very wealthy. And I know some saints that have died in their 30s. So we can't be talking about earthly, physical things that we see. We've got to be talking about some things of God. And which is more important anyways? You tell me. Well, you know the answer to that. Now, so, and isn't Ephesians chapter 1 pretty clear that the all things are, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? That's some things of God. That's where it's at. And then, hence, that's why Paul could say in Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For your life is hid in Christ. Now, I didn't say that. I wouldn't be smart enough to think about that. Now, let's start to get into some meat. Not Not that we weren't chewing on some meat, but let's maybe get into some filet mignon, maybe. I don't know. Go to Colossians chapter 1. This is where it starts to get exciting to me. Colossians chapter 1. Whew. All of a sudden, I got real hot. I don't know what's going on. Window cleaning resource. Okay. Where are we at? Colossians chapter 1. Notice verse 27. Paul says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. I think that includes all of us. Unless I'm mistaken. Which is Christ in you. Do you know of any, by the way, this is a real tough question. Do you know of any other Bible writer that talks more about Christ than Paul? That's a whole ball of wax. He's the center of the universe. Whom we preach, Christ, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. It wouldn't be the wisdom of this world. No, no, no. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We might look at that a little bit later. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His power, which worketh in me mightily. His power. Your power? Your superpower? His power. Oh, I don't know why that got red, but is that going to be okay? What? Oh, okay. Okay. I might press it too hard. You'll scold me later, okay? All right. Now, you see, it's God working. And how? He's working what? Mightily. Mightily. That's the power of the book. Now, hey, I'm a real simple country man. I really am. I'm about as simple as you get. Yeah, I've got to tell a story, but I don't want to now. Either we got the power or we don't. Either it's mighty or it's not. It's not real complicated, is it? Now, oh, we're building. We're building up to the climax here. Now, God is the issue, and He always been the issue. And Philippians, let's go to Philippians 2. I can't make it any clearer than this. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is who? Try to get rid of that red so I don't get in trouble with Eddie. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He wants to do something in you. He wants to do something. He wants to work His will and His good pleasure in you through, obviously, this book. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you. That's my red letter edition. All right. Okay. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, boy. We're getting close to the filet mignon here. Oh, I'll tell you, it's going to get juicy and tasty. I'm going to love every moment of it here when we get to the climactic verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, we got a very interesting word in that verse. We know the Bible, our book is written in English, so we can take some English Bibles. I think it's fair. Paul says, this cause, also we got without seed, received what? It comes back to being the issue that when you receive the word of God, heard of us, you receive the word of men. No. In the word. Oh, and that, the word of God. What? They're that inch fighting third perspective. Okay, that, I believe it. Is that hard? Even a dumb country can figure it out. Now, okay, effectively, oh, Mr. Stooley, rude. It'll really work. It'll perfect that. Don't work at the second, Timothy 3. We're going to, why am I in 1 Timothy? Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given the inspiration of God. For God, a man, what's the sin his word exactly the same. It smooths us unto all the work that we're through the same fact. Look, trust me, look it up. One. Yeah. Yeah. This is chapter 1. That's not that word. Today, we heard it. Do not cease to pray. Now that you might be filled with enough heal, for it is real and good that Paul told us. Filled with enough wisdom and spirit to understand us. That, reckoning the knowledge right according to his good unto and long suffering. The word of God can work patiently about half level than it's a different level. Now, so, understanding a little bit, that way here a little bit. Now, Ephesians, what day you'll be challenged? For, I'm telling the truth, you know, me three. That he heard of two, when I enter new hide, cry, new hearts, the cry, not the butt up, being of with the lens of which I see the God of doing. That, I'm sorry, get it, what it's you can have on earth. Correct. Boy, people, some people see like that. It's a lot. It's a mouth. That healing, but plan of, and that stuff, breathing, that is beyond what you do and what you know. Now, or can you think effect out here? Can you hear more? See what I got on? You hear? It'll be a button. Look, still, there's only sex. Your soul. One on some thing. And second, one, then, worker, all other, dark. It's at you. The in the excel. Give it. So, what else? But in all things, approving ourselves as minister of God, watch out, here it comes, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the, here it is again, the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by, oh boy, evil report, by good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened, and not killed, as sorrowful, yet rejoicing, always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having, Paul, come on now, you're the main apostle of the Gentiles, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Wow. 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 Now listen up. Listen up. Paul is not, I feel very confident about this, very confident. Paul is not saying in verse 9 when he says, as unknown. Paul's not saying, you know, nobody knew me. Nobody knew me. What? This, my goodness, from Jerusalem to Athens to Rome and everywhere in between, this man moved cities. Are you kidding me? Everybody knew who Paul was. Are you kidding me? Yeah, they knew who Paul's not saying that. And by the way, that word as means in the English language, means like or similar. I could say someday I might be as good a window washer as Mark Markley. As, similar, like. I'm not on his level yet. And that's okay. This guy is, he's unreal. Anyways, he's on another level. But I must be doing something right. I got a mug. I'm doing something right. Anyways, I'm kind of losing my train of thought. Paul's not saying, when he says as known, as unknown, he's not saying, you know, I was insignificant in the world. Nobody knew me. No, not at all. Not at all. Why? Because, well, you read a little bit. The verse says, yet Paul was well known. That is, he was well known. His true identity was in Christ. He was well known. And a synonym, that is, remember that word that is very similar or just like, you know what the synonym for known is? You know what it is? By the way, synonym, here's some examples. I wrote this down. Start, begin. Beautiful, attractive. Small, little. You get the idea, right? Those are synonyms, all right? In the English language, which we can use, written in Old King James, made sure we had an English Bible, a synonym for the word known, and it's a strong synonym. I don't want a weak synonym. Synonym. Thank you, Mom. I want a strong synonym. And the strong synonym for the word known is accepted. Oh, that's right. We have a verse that says we are accepted in the Beloved. Paul was accepted by Christ. Was he by the world? I think we have proof in the passage, don't we? Paul said what? In verse 4, in afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, labors, fasting. You get it. Paul says as dying, chastened, as sorrowful, as poor, as having nothing. Wait a minute. I think I know a man who lives in a 17,000 square foot house. Oh, that's right. He'd be Joel Osteen. Joel, have you ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 6? It must have just went right over your head. Matter of fact, our own Lord Jesus Christ didn't have a place to even dwell. But anyways, fascinating to me. Fascinating. Religion is not good by any stretch of the imagination. Now, you see, that was Paul's. Paul's given you his earthly reality, and then he gives you his spiritual reality. And his earthly reality, he was not accepted. He was not acknowledged. He was not approved by man many, many times. He got let out by a basket. He was withdrawn from the city and stoned and just kicked all over the place. He was not accepted. And you know what? I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I think many times when we want to share the gospel, we think, oh, this is good news, but I remember what Paul went through. Boy, he suffered. And I think I have a verse that says that all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yeah, that's the Word of God. So, I think a lot of us, we think, I don't know if I want to share the gospel. I think you're going to run into trouble. Paul certainly had his share of it. But we have this. You see, we're not left on a little island trying to defend ourselves from the world. No, come on. We're mightier than that because we have the book. And when I get to feeling weak and frail and, oh, I don't know if I want to open my mouth and talk about the gospel of the grace of God. I have a go-to verse. You should always have a go-to verse, shouldn't you? Mine's 2 Timothy. Wow. What a verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. There he is again. It's amazing how he keeps showing up. It's his book. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now listen to me. If you have no fear and you got power and you got love and you got a sound mind, you're good to go. You're good to share the message. And that's what this book gives us. no matter what. That's what it gives us. Because all of us, because I don't think anybody here is a hermit. Sometimes I'm kind of solitary, but I don't think anybody's a hermit. We all have friends. We all have relatives that need the gospel. And we all, 100%, you said, 100% of you said you got the power. We all can do it. We all can do it. What are you going to do with your power? Are you just going to, that's a nice verse. I learned that today. Heck with my friend. That's an interesting verse. The hell, that I didn't say hell. I said the heck. The heck with my relative. I'll just keep marching on with my nice, comfortable life. And I don't need to suffer any. And you know, Henry Culp. Notice I didn't say pastor. The gift of pastor is gone, long gone. I call him Henry because he was Henry Culp. There are no titles in the Bible. There are no titles in the Bible. Henry Culp once said, you know, you'll never suffer. You'll never suffer. Mark, maybe you remember this. Henry said, you'll never suffer if you keep your mouth shut. You'll never suffer. You see, once you start sharing, and Paul says, speak the truth with love, you got to do it with love, man. I tried in the past jamming some information down the throat of someone. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Man, you better mean it. You better mean it. You better mean it. You better do it with love. You better be gentle. As Paul said, I was gentle as a nurse. You got to be gentle. You can do it. You got the power. Now, it's not quite 11:30 yet, so I've got a little bit of grace left. I'm not going to say who I learned this from. I'm not going to say they're in this room. But they told me one time, Del, if you never did anything more in your life, you get to heaven. It's all good. You're accepted in the beloved. And it's true. God's never going to force any of us to do anything. We are in a volunteer situation. God's not forcing any of us to talk to somebody about the gospel, the grace of God, is He? You do it voluntarily. Just like our three earthly examples, they volunteered for what? For the purpose of helping others. Listen, please don't be offended because I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat. As I look at all of us, we're starting to get a little long in the tooth. That's a kind way of saying we're starting to get old. Me too. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can come up with something better, please let me know after the message, please. Please, excuse me. And I don't mean to make anybody feel uncomfortable. This is who I am. I'd like to take some people with me that I love. I can't think of anything better than sharing the gospel, the grace of God. Can you think of where we're all going to go? What more would you rather do? Can you think of anything better to do than to share this wonderful gospel? What a way to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave this earth, and I don't have a problem with that. But I'd like to take some people with me. That's all I got to say. Father, we thank You for Your precious, infallible, eternal Word. Father, the power is not of us. The power is invested in the Scriptures. We use that power through the inner man, and we can penetrate the thoughts and intents of anyone's heart through Your Word. Father, May we have some courage through your word and not be fearful of persecution or ridicule or anything like that. But may we do it in the spirit of love for their souls. Thank you, Father. Amen.